Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here with me.
Hey, guys.
And today we just want to quick, before we dive into everything, ask you guys that if you have not had a chance to head over to iTunes and give us a review, we would just really appreciate if you like what we're doing here, if you are happy with the show or learning and growing from it, that is the best way to support us. We've had so many of you guys already go over there and do it, and we're so appreciative. And honestly, I don't know about you, Em, but like I could cry when I read through those reviews. It's just everyone is so kind and so sweet. And it's really wonderful and encouraging for Emily and I, but it's also a great way to spread that word about the show, which is really why we ask, so that we can reach more moms with gospel hope to help them in their motherhood.
So, yes, and Laura has a great tutorial. Occasionally we get notes that it's kind of hard. So if you go to our website, risenmotherhood.com, there on the right-hand side, there's a really quick little tutorial she made if you need some help doing it.
Yeah, hopefully it's understandable. I don't know. iTunes is a little bit confusing, we'll be honest. So, all right, so today we are diving into a frequently asked question to Emily and I that we get asked quite a bit, talking through a little bit about family devotions. What do they look like? What are your expectations? How do you do them? What resources do you use? And of course, Emily and I love to add, why do we do family devotions? Because this is Risen Motherhood, and we talk about the why here, because there's no reason doing something if you don't know why you do it. So Emily, what was your picture pre-mom of what family devos looked like, or you know, pre-older children when it became a reality?
Yeah. So whenever I hear the word family devotion, my mind harkens back to like the 1800s, like a family sitting in a one-room home around a fire. And the father is reading out of this big old Bible for like an hour.
Yeah, it's probably King James.
Yes, yes. And the children are all like very well behaved and very quiet.
They're like knitting and crocheting or something.
Yes, yes, exactly. You're right there. And you know, maybe they sing an old hymn together and they pray, and it's just very picturesque. And I even have like kind of a modern version of that in my mind too. But of course, that has caused a lot of issues for me, because that's just completely unattainable, especially with young children. So it kind of leaves me always feeling like we're doing a really bad job at passing on just our faith and our disciplines to our children. What about you, Laura? Do you have any like?
Yeah, no, I think it's really similar to you. And I think definitely the sitting still thing, I just pictured my kids sitting really still, listening and obeying, mm-hmm. and just gobbling up what I was saying to them and just desiring to read it so much. And, you know, it's definitely anything but. We're talking about, you know, monster trucks and what if Jesus rode on monster trucks. That's a common question in our home. And, you know, questions about dinosaurs and dragons. And I mean, it's all over the place. That's the reality.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Most of our questions are, does Jesus love my stuffed animals? And stuff you just are like, I don't even know how to answer that question.
Oh man.
So yeah, we all probably have like whatever your expectation is that comes to your mind, picture it. And we are going to hopefully encourage you today in how to like, you know, exercise this practice in just a normal family.
Yeah, we're going to shatter all your unrealistic expectations is what we're going to do.
So for the sake of today's show, we thought we'd kind of define what we're talking about, because it may mean something different to each of you. And we're just saying like, this is a regular time when your family, or like most of your family that's reasonable, sits down together and has kind of a more intentional time of reading the scriptures, or like maybe it's a Bible storybook, and learning together about the Word of God. And so it's just an example of a time when like mom and dad both act as kind of disciplers and are showing their children, like actually actively modeling kind of what this practice looks like and saying, we need this daily. We rely on his word. And here is what it looks like to process through it and apply it to our lives.
Exactly. And the whole reason behind why we have family devos is that I think, like, if you just really boil it down, it just says, you know, if the gospel is everything to mom and dad, then wouldn't we want to share that with our own children, with our own flesh and blood? Like, out of the overflow of the joy of what we've received from Christ and God's wonderful, magnificent plan, mm-hmm. like, that flows from that joy to say, I want my children to know this truth, and I want my children to share in this joy, to share in eternity. And so, you know, if we understand our need, if we understand the need that we have for God's guidance and his intervention in our life through his word, then we want to train our children in those things. And also, if we believe that the gospel is just critical for our children and their eternity in life and in death. And our greatest hope and our greatest desire is for them to know Christ. That's what family devos do, is that they build a very solid foundation for our children to grow and understand. I think Emily has said in a previous show at one point that, like, even if we don't see our children come to faith until they're 20, 30, maybe we never see that actually happen. But when they do, or if they do, this provides a wonderful foundation, a platform for which they can draw on, and that they have just years and years of built up of truth and of knowing that, like, hey, this was so important to my parents. This was something that they took time out every single day to do. And now they have something to draw on when they create their own relationship with Christ.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that happens sometimes, and I mean, I know I've experienced this just a little bit, is that when there's maybe kids are going to church on Sunday, or they're in Sunday school class, or they're in youth group, but, like, in the home, they're not seeing mom and dad open the scriptures, and they're not understanding how it's critical to daily life and why it impacts their daily life. There can be kind of this disconnect of thinking, well, church stuff is at church, and, like, at home, we can, like, live another life. And yeah. I think that is just one of the many reasons why we want to, like, make that connection for them and see the home as a primary spiritual training ground. So
yeah,
we have actually talked in depth about this topic a lot, like, in a lot of different ways on a lot of different shows on Risen Motherhood. And so one thing we'll do is, in the show notes, we're going to try to list a lot of related shows. If you're, like, wanting to understand this more, why parents are kind of the primary disciplers of their children, how God has commissioned dads and moms to pass along the gospel to their children, God's word to their children, we will just list a lot of resources there for you.
Yeah. And while we don't see, like, this specific, like, example, perfect example of family devos in scripture, we do see in scripture a lot of examples of parents passing on their faith to their children. I mean, you can look at Deuteronomy. It's very explicit, where the Lord says, teach these things to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. I mean, that's a really big one in Deuteronomy 6. We can even see a lot of common examples with Timothy learning about these things from when he was young from his grandmother, the Proverbs 31 woman. And no matter what, I think it's just important to remember that devotions, family devotions, are family worship. And we see families practicing that all over the Bible, especially even large communities at a time, practicing worship. And that's basically what you're doing in a family devotion, is you're having family worship together. You're singing songs, you're reading the Bible, you're talking about God. All of those things honor him and worship him.
Yeah. So our goal today, like we said at the beginning, isn't to, like, put another burden on you of, like, oh, here's this thing, like, you should feel really bad if you're not doing it. We want to encourage you that this is, like, a great thing that you can start in the season of young children. And basically, though, I think the main thing is we have to adjust our expectations and understand that doing a little bit or getting started on this habit is worthwhile in the season of young children. And so Laura and I thought we'd go through, just share some of, like, our expectations and how we've kind of managed them and learned to think more rightly about them. So,
yeah, I think one of my biggest difficulties was actually learning how to talk to a 2-year-old about Jesus. I felt like I just never done that before. I'm not really a big kid person. I didn't babysit growing up. And I think it was really tough for me to learn how to bring down these big truths that I was barely probably even understanding in some ways and be able to talk to a child about those things, especially with interruptions and distractions and things like that. And so one thing I just want to encourage everybody in too is if that's like something that's hard for you, like talking about Jesus is kind of hard, maybe even to another adult or to your children, like your children are the best training ground ever. And I feel like, you know, they don't really remember the little nuances and theological errors that you might have. And so they're not going to pick up on if like one day you said something and the next day you're like, okay, I'm going to slightly correct that or, you know, change it to be more understandable and bring it down to their level. And so this is the time to do it when they're really, really young and they're just soaking everything up and they trust you and you are diligently bringing these truths to them. And this is a time where you can learn how to share the gospel in a very, very simple way. Because that's one beautiful thing about the gospel is it can be like that, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things my husband and I have been saying recently, because we have a kiddo who will ask like endless questions before bed about the Bible and about God, some valid, some not. We'll say, you know, we should really have patience for these questions while he's still excited to ask them.
Yeah.
And so exactly like Laura said, you don't have to have a perfect answer, but I think that desire to engage our children yes. spiritually is what draws them into relationship with us so that there is that trust there. And then I think another expectation with young children just to be aware of is just the amount of time. You know, I think you cannot start just like you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning if you haven't been having a quiet time or prayer time and you're going to start like 2 hours a day every day. You have to build up to it. And so especially if you have kids under 3, like this may be 5 minutes or 7 minutes or 3 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
Like if you have kids a little bit older than that, maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe you have a good night and it's like 20. But I don't know many families with young children who are doing like 30 minute to an hour long yeah. quiet times. And if you are able to do that, that is wonderful. But I think that that's something we have to train our kids in. And speaking of other families, I think that's another thing we have to be really careful of is remembering that there is freedom in Christ. Like Lauren and I say on every show, I feel like that the way families are going to pass along their faith to their children is going to look different. Like there may be some families who there's like a guitar involved in the family worship
man.
Time.
I know a family that's got like dress up clothes. It is awesome, but that ain't us.
Yeah, but that is okay. And I think it's okay to look at where your family is at and just say, hey, we want to be faithful to tell our children about Jesus. What does that look like for us in this season? And go do it.
Yes. So what about dad's involvement? And ideally, dad would lead this time, but I can speak to the fact that my husband often sometimes doesn't see my kids during the day at all. And so a lot of this does ride on me. And when he's home, he does lead. But we also keep it very simple for his days. We do a little bit different things when he's home. And if your husband is maybe not interested in doing this, or maybe he's not a believer, or maybe he's still just really growing in knowing how to be the spiritual leader of the family, we have shows on that. So if you have more questions on what dad's involvement looks like, we will link those up on the show notes.
Yeah, totally. Because that can be a hard question and it can feel like you're doing it alone.
Yeah. So Emily and I are just going to talk through a little bit some of our favorite resources, what we're each doing for quiet times and what it kind of looks like, just to give you that practical stuff we know all of you guys love. So Em, do you want to go first?
Sure. And especially in the season of like young kids, I feel like it's yeah. changed for us. You know, every few months, I feel like family devos starts to look different. So things we've done in the past, when we've done it in the morning has been, I have this little gospel book that I created where we just talked about the 10 points of the gospel and literally like the kids just memorized it. I've done a book called Leading Little Ones to God, which I'll link to. And it's totally old school. Like it maybe was like published yeah. in the 60s. But again, just like a theological lesson and something to help get conversations started. But more recently, we've been doing things before bed. In December, we sat down and read through most of the Gospel of Luke and would just read, you know, a chapter or like a section at a time. And then I would just kind of generally give like a principle from it. And my kids would ask a question that didn't make any sense. And then they would go to bed. And then in January, we did my husband's family, Laura's family, did Pilgrim's Progress every January growing up. So we got a kid's version of that called Dangerous Journey that we read through. And the boys absolutely loved it because it was scary.
Yeah, this book, you guys, we will show it to you on show notes, but it's really good, but it is a little bit scary, yeah. Right, Em? I mean,
it is scary, but they loved it and they were so engaged with the story. But yeah, it's a metaphor for the Christian life. And so it's a great conversation starter. Recently, we've also done The Biggest Story by Kevin DeYoung, mm-hmm. which we'll link to. And that was really good just to talk through the main message of the Bible and the, you know, weaving Jesus in there. And then right now we're going through the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I know that's something a lot of people I feel like around us have gone through for many years with their kids, but we really, I feel like until now our kids haven't been able to really grasp it. So, I will read that just one, little section at a time, and then everybody gets to ask a question and we pray and we go to bed. Go to bed, kids.
Go to bed now. Yeah, I know. We tend to do something in the morning over breakfast with me and the kids every day-ish. You know, we're going to give a nice caveat on there. It doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, not every day-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And then also at the end of the day, we always read the Bible before bed. And the two that we tend to read are Jesus Storybook Bible and the Big Picture Bible, I think that's what it's called, and The Greatest Story that Emily mentioned. So we have a few like that are on in Pilgrim's Progress. My son calls it the Dragon Book. And so he loves it. He's super into the skulls and scary parts of it. So anyway, we kind of rotate on those before bed. And then we, in the mornings, I switch it up a lot. We memorize scripture typically at some point, and we tend to do longer passages. I find it a lot easier with references, and my kids can kind of get into it with a lot of actions, and it's just amazing what a three-year-old can soak up. I mean, don't underestimate your kids, moms, because I am amazed all the time by what they can take in, what they can process, and what they can spit back out. So we usually do that. We've done New City Catechism. There's also a CD that has all the catechisms to song. I'm blanking on what it's called right now.
Songs for Saplings.
Songs for Saplings. Thank you. So that's not part of our quiet time, but we play that throughout the day to kind of reinforce what a catechism means and remember the catechism. We will work through different theology books. I'll link to two of them, I think, that we use in the show notes. So, and then that just basically frames up a theological question or truth. And then, as Emily said, we always just leave time for questions. And a lot of times, you know, I'm saying, you know, what do you think about this? Why did God do that? Make up questions on the fly. I can't think of how I do it now. But, you know, if you've never done this before, it's just practicing and talking about the pictures and talking about what images the kids are seeing. And, you know, why didn't Sally want to share with Susie? And what does God think about that? And so just really basic stuff. But I think a lot of it is kind of on the fly, asking questions and giving that opportunity for your kids to ask any question and to let them know that, like, we love talking about God, you know, and we love and value the Bible and God's truths and all of those things. So, okay, so if you want to do this, we wanted to talk about a couple practical next steps.
Yeah, I think like all of that can sound like, well, there's like 100 things to do. But Laura and I are not doing all these things at one time. You know, I feel like at least for us, this changes every few weeks or every couple of months, we'll do like one different thing. So just think about one thing and add it into your routine, something that you're already doing. Like, hey, at breakfast, like Laura said, we're not adding a new thing. We're just going to do this while we're already all here. Or do something in the car if you have a long commute somewhere. Or again, right before bed, that's something our kids remind us of every day, even if we don't really want to, or we're ready for them to just go to sleep. It's just in the routine. And just start small. Do one little thing, you know, even if you're, we're going to read 2 pages out of the Jesus Storybook Bible. We're not even going to get through the whole section. Just start somewhere and then know that you can add to it. You can change it. You can let it evolve for your family. And don't forget, moms, to just be in the Word yourself. I think that can be, you know, it's hard to just kind of insert this into your kid's life or to your family's life if this isn't something that's important in our own lives. So, yeah, that's definitely important too.
Yeah. The main idea here, we just want, you guys to all be encouraged to spend a certain time in your day where you really communicate to your kids how much mom and dad love and value the Bible, how you can learn from the Bible, how we want to think about what the Bible says, apply it to our lives, and to show them that prayer is really important and that is a key way to commune with God and a key part of the Christian life. So it looks so many different ways, and there are lots of different things that you can do. We hope that you leave the show not feeling overwhelmed, but instead equipped to be able to take just a piece of something that we've shared today and apply it to your own life.
And we will make sure, I know we kind of spit out a bunch of resources really fast there. If you go to our show notes at risenmotherhood.com, we will have links to all of these resources and detail, plus things that we didn't remember to mention on the show.
Yeah.
And then you can also find links to some of the other shows we mentioned that give other background into this conversation. And so, yeah, thanks for joining us. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Risen Motherhood. And thanks for joining us.